habe. Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, I took my glasses off. Right, we'll start at the beginning. I was born in Belfast, 1940, 21. I had one brother who was a very sick child. My father left home when I was 4 years old. Life for my mum was very difficult, and I often was rejected and told I would never be any good at anything. At age 8, I was responsible for Roy's care as my mum had to work. I grew up believing that if I worked hard and didn't answer my mother back, I would be loved. I had a stepfather, and when he came into our lives, it was chaos. We moved to Leeds, then London, Isle of Man, Strangford. We were often hungry, cold, and lived in one bedroom. Life went on as usual. I met my husband when we were 17. We married when we were 19. My husband joined the army soon after we were married. I was pregnant, and our first child was born 9 months later. 3 children in 2 years and 9 months, done well. We lived in England 6 years and Germany 6 years. When we were posted to Colchester, we never did live there. You'll find out reason why. On our journey back, I was sick, and on returning to Bangor, I made an appointment to see the doctor. He asked me one question: would you be a wee bit nervy? That was the start of my journey for the next 8 years. Valium, ECT, petrified of going out, agoraphobia, panic attacks. Life for me was a life of intense fear. I couldn't get on a bus, taxi. My confidence was shattered. I didn't know who I had become. Then I was invited through a prayer meeting at Bangor West Church, the Lord's divine appointment. I was scared that I could not go out. I went the next Sunday, and on the second Sunday, the minister asked me to go to his office with him. That night was the start of my journey to know my Saviour and my Lord. Next morning, I got up, went across the valleys. I wanted wee buns. I went a long way home. My husband asked where I had been. I said Bangor. What I forgot to say was I had put my Valium down the loo. I knew the Lord had healed me. There were many difficulties along the way. We moved to Rosemary Avenue and life was good until one day my husband said he was leaving our home and was going to England to live. I preferred to leave the reason private. That didn't happen. Life went on again. The same thing happened. My husband left the marital home months later. He came to tell me he was selling the house. That was on a Thursday night, and on the Saturday morning, my husband died. His lorry jackknifed. What now? I worked in the YMCA. I remarried. I bought a guest house and was there for 6 years. Loved it. I couldn't get Rathgale Care Home for Disadvantaged Young People out of my head. So I decided to go to the job market. An interview was arranged that afternoon. 6 weeks later, I got the job. I was there for 19 years. Time to retire. Would still be there if age didn't dictate. The Lord has opened and closed doors in my life. 12 years ago, I was diagnosed with macular degeneration and will be blind in 3 months, a disease that is incurable. Once more, my Lord, my Saviour, healed me. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. I now have 7 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. Often I think how sad it is my husband didn't live to see them. He would have been a loving granddad. Right, I have more notes here. Hold on. I don't think I brought them with me, sorry. What I would really like to say tonight is that God is a God of love. A God who takes us by the right hand and leads us to where he wants us to be. He is a healer, which I know. He is a God who provides. A God who is just everything that we need and will ever need. I really can't say enough about my God. I do not think, I don't know where I went. No. That I must have left my other notes at home. But anyway, what I really want to say is, without God, we have nothing. I have nothing. With God, I have everything that I ever need or want. I have a family. I have 7 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren, as I say it. None of them live here. Well, one son lives here now, but none of them live here. But do you know, none of them know the Lord. None of them are Christians. And my prayer is that God will speak to them, and not only speak to them, but they will hear him and they will trust him. We come into this church 17 years ago, Tally. And I knew when I walked in here that this was where God wanted us. This is where I am. This is my church. This is my home. This is my spiritual home. I could not praise our leaders enough for the word that they bring to us. I want others to know this. I want people to know who God is, how much he loves them, how much he just everything. I go like this when I get like this. I want them to know how much God cares. And you won't know that until you know him as your Savior. I don't know what else to say. I'm going to do my reading, Tally. I'm going to see it now. When my husband left the house for the second time, the Lord showed me this scripture. And it's from Isaiah 54. And it's from verse 4 to verse 8. And the reason that you maybe understand after what I have said, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called God of the whole earth, for the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Whenever I read that, I asked the minister from Listener Breen. I was a member of Listener Breen at the time. And the minister came out and I showed him the scriptures, and he spoke to me and he said, "Rita, that's David, that's just saying that David will come back." But I knew in my heart that my husband, I didn't know obviously that he was going to die, but I knew he wasn't going to come home. And that has been a comfort to me many, many times. I remarried, but that marriage didn't work out either. I don't know what's wrong with me. But anyway, all I know is that God's grace, his mercy, and his love is everlasting. That every day that we live, that grace, that mercy, that love, it just enfolds us, and that's what we hold on to. That no matter what, I have a wee saying, when things are all going wrong and they don't seem to be working out, but God. Meaning, of course, that God will work it out for our good. Not always the way we want it, but for our good and in his mercy. Thank you.
I've known Rita for 32, maybe 33 years, and she undersells herself, because in those 33 years that I've known Rita, she's served the Lord all those days, has been a faithful servant unto the Lord in many and wonderful ways, and has spoken God's heart into people's lives and circumstances in ways that you could never possibly have imagined. If you know anything about the prophetic word, God has numerous occasions used Rita to speak prophetically over people's lives and to minister to people in wonderful, wonderful ways. But I want to pick up on something that Rita said in a moment. It's that word agoraphobia. But before I do that, let me just pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray tonight that again your Holy Spirit would be at work. We thank you for Rita's testimony, Lord God. We know of her nervousness, but Lord, as I said in the early prayer meeting, Father, the very fact that she stood here at this lectern and read notes and read the passage from the scriptures, Lord God, is a testimony to your amazing grace in her life. Because, Lord, there was that disease, that macular degeneration, Lord, that said she would be blind in 3 months. But she cried out to you, Lord God, and you gave her sight. And we thank you, Lord, that that is a living testimony to your grace in Rita's life. And we pray that you would continue to use her testimony and use her, Lord God, to minister to many, many people. But Lord, may your word tonight speak into our lives and into the lives of those who are tuned in through Facebook and listening to the podcast as well. Speak, Lord, please, because your word is living and powerful. And I know there's people here and there's people, Lord God, tuned in that you want to speak to tonight. Give them ears to hear what you're saying, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. The word agoraphobia, it's a type of anxiety disorder. That's the best way to put it. It's a type of anxiety disorder in which you fear and avoid places or situations that might cause you to panic or to make you feel trapped, helpless, or embarrassed. A bit like a police station, I suppose. You know? I'm only joking. But it's an anxiety. It really just overwhelms your life. And it's a fear where you're scared to go outside of your house. And my mother experienced it for some time, but she was just as well. She had a heartless son like me, because she would have phoned me all the time saying, get me this from the shop, get me that from the shop. And I eventually says, you know what, go and get it yourself or starve to death, because I'm not doing it anymore. And eventually she started to make a wee step. I'm talking about out the door. And then she made it to the back gate and then flew back into the house. And then she would get a taxi and get out of the taxi and then jump back into it and couldn't go into the shop. But eventually she was able to overcome, and the Lord had a part to play in that as well, just as he did with Rita. So let me again make this clear. Agoraphobia is a type of anxiety disorder in which you fear and avoid places or situations that might cause you to panic and make you feel trapped, helpless, or embarrassed. And many sufferers, just like Rita, were imprisoned or are imprisoned in their own homes. They become slaves to fear. And I don't know who it was that said it, but they said this: fear is so prevalent in societies across the world that countries are promoting nothing to fear days and face your fear days. And then they said these words: fear defeats more people than any other one thing in the world. Isn't that incredible? Fear defeats more people than any other one thing in the world. Take a breath for this. Fear of people, fear of insects or animals, fear of heights, closed in spaces, open spaces, fear of cancer, fear of sickness, fear of disease, fear of needles, dentists, hospitals, fear of alcohol and drugs, fear of not having alcohol and drugs, fear of losing your job or losing your benefits, fear of thunder and lightning, fear of clowns, fear of driving, flying, sailing, fear of crashing, fear of being knocked down, fear of being caught, fear of shame, fear of disgrace, fear of punishment or prison, fear of the future, fear of living or dying, fear of burial or cremation, fear of ghosts, fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, fear of intimacy, fear of loneliness, fear of water, fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, fear of falling, fear of darkness, fear of God, fear of numbers, fear of fire, fear of crime, fear of being killed, fear of pain, fear of suffering, fear of going back to the bad old days in Northern Ireland, fear of war, fear of Catholics, fear of Protestants, fear of Muslims, fear of Jews, fear that I'm never going to shut up. You know, there are just... these are just a few, and I'm talking about a few of the fears that defeat people daily. I wonder, was your fear mentioned there? But these are just a few of the fears that defeat people daily. Fear defeats more people than any other one thing in the world. Fear of going blind. And for many who are enslaved by fear, their fears are often unfounded. Well, Rita spoke about her fears, so much so that she had to go onto medication and she became addicted to Valium. She was afraid to step outside of her house. But when the Lord moved and made a difference in her life, she could go to Bangor the very next day. Such was the move of God in her life. Well, in the Bible, there's a man called Job, and Job faced things people fear the most. He told his friends, "That which I fear the most has come upon me." All his children, 7 sons and 3 daughters, were killed in one day. He lost the majority of his possessions, and he was himself afflicted with a terrible, painful condition. Imagine if that was you. Losing all of your children in a moment and all of your possessions and then being afflicted with a terrible illness yourself. You could lose your family, lose everything you ever lived for in a single day. Well, that's a reality for many people in Yemen right now. It's a reality for many people in Syria right now and in places like Afghanistan. It's happening all the time. But what if it happened to you? What is your life built upon? Well, God's word teaches us that people are slaves to that which they give themselves to or that they give into. Fears, be they real or unfounded, are associated with sin, and they are always ungodly. And sin, as we know, leads to death and separation from God. The Bible says all have sinned. And that makes me think all have fears. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In fact, the writer still says that the wages, the price of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. And isn't it incredible that many, many people in life fear death? Is it surprising to learn that in the book of Revelation in chapter 21 verse 8, of the list of those being cast into hell on the day of judgment, starts with the cowardly, the fearful. The fearful, the cowardly, are the first on that list of those who are being cast into hell. Fears that enslave us, fears that defeat us, are ungodly. They are not from God. But listen to the words of the Apostle John this evening. He writes these in 1 John chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Now, before I move on, let me just clarify what this is saying here. When it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God, it doesn't mean that you just suddenly say, Jesus is the Son of God, and you're saved. It means that you're agreeing. It's the same as confessing your sin. You are agreeing with God that God's Son is the only Savior of the world. That God's Son is the only means by which you can be freed from slavery to sin. Whoever, that includes anyone who puts their trust in Jesus, whoever confesses, believes in their heart, acts upon that belief that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Then he goes on. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Rita put this across in her testimony. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Wait till you hear this. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. See, if you haven't got the love of God in your heart, what the writer's saying here, maybe it sounds complicated, but I'll put it into Dick and Dora language for us all here. What he's saying is this. If you do not know the love of God experientially in your life, and you can't know the love of God unless you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you do not know the love of God in your heart, you will be afraid on the day of judgment. But if you have the love of God in your heart because of Jesus, because you have confessed him as the Son of God who died to pay the price for your sin, because you know Jesus, you have no reason to be afraid on the day of judgment, because the love of God has overruled it. He says this, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. The perfect love of God casts out fear. Now, again, I'll explain this. The perfect love of God, when it comes into your life, when you experience through faith in Jesus, and there is no other way that you can experience the perfect love of God except through Jesus, when the perfect love of God comes into your life, it first and foremost drives away any wrong fear of God. And you recognize that God is a God of love, not a God with a big stick ready to whip you and beat you every time you get something wrong. Not a God who's hanging you over hell every few minutes of the day. When the perfect love of God fills your heart, something happens. It makes a difference. And when it comes into your life, it dispels a wrong fear of God. And then it dispels any fear of future judgment or eternal punishment for sin. Why? Because Jesus has paid the debt in full. The perfect love of God then works in our lives to free us from slavery to fear and the fears that seek to defeat us daily. Just as Rita called upon the name of the Lord, just as she had got prayer in West Church and she was set free, that the next day she could go down to the town because the perfect love of God came into her life and freed her from the fears, and agoraphobia was cast away. Jesus makes a difference. Finally, when the perfect love of God comes into our lives, we begin to understand, because it's a process, thankfully, that is lifelong. We begin to understand that we only love God because He first perfectly loved us. So let me ask you this evening, do you know, and I'm talking experientially, not head knowledge, do you know the perfect love of God in your life? If you cannot answer yes, then you are a slave to sin, a slave to fear, and to fears. But Jesus came to set people free from slavery to sin and fear. And by His death on our behalf, Jesus has defeated sin and fear for us. And now God Almighty, who loves us with an everlasting love, says, whoever puts their trust in Jesus, my Son, and receives him into their lives, then my perfect love will come and fill their hearts and their minds. Do you know the perfect love of God in your life? Or are you a slave to sin and fear? Have faith tonight. Have faith in Jesus. And let His perfect love fill your life, free you from slavery to sin, and cast away all your fears. From blindness and agoraphobia, fears that compelled Rita to live like a prisoner in her own home. Fears of rejection after rejection after rejection, just being driven away by the perfect love of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. Fear defeats more people than any other one thing in the world. Are you a slave to sin and fear? Have faith in Jesus. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and let His perfect love fill your life and free you from slavery to sin and cast away all your fears. Maybe tonight you're a Christian and you are struggling because you have a lot of fears in your life. You don't have to live that way. You were set free from it. You don't have to believe the lies of the devil. The perfect love of God for you casts away all fear. Maybe tonight there's someone here or someone listening on Facebook or to our podcast, and you're not able to say that you have experienced the perfect love of God in your life. Well, if you haven't experienced the perfect love of God in your life, then you are a slave to sin and to fear and fears. You don't have to live that way. Put your trust in Jesus. Confess your sin. Agree with God that you are a sinner. Be prepared with His help to turn from that life and from your sin, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will begin to experience the perfect love of the Lord, casting away all fear and setting you free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank You again for Rita and her testimony, Lord God, and we pray that You would bless her, Father, for standing up, Lord God, to speak of Your love for her. Lord, it's so difficult to get up here, Lord God, to testify. It's so difficult, Lord God, to get up to speak. And it's even more so, Lord God, when you've been through some of the things that Rita has been through. But she did this, Lord, because she wanted, as she told me from the outset, to give you glory. Lord, thank you for how you have blessed Rita. Thank you for how she has served you all these years. And may you continue, Lord God, to bless her and use her. And I pray tonight, Father, that her testimony will have spoken to people about what you can do. When the perfect love of God comes into a person's life, you can set them free in a moment, just as you did for Rita. Free, Lord God, from sin and judgment, Lord God, consequences of sin. Not free, Lord God, from the curse of it, because we live under it. It's a future day, Lord God, when we look forward to, when we will be free from the curse of sin. But Lord, thank you tonight that you are a God who delivers people from a spirit of fear, that your perfect love casts out all fear. And we pray that that perfect love, so beautifully, so wonderfully demonstrated in Jesus Christ, your Son, would be received tonight by people who are here or people who are tuned in. Lord, let your word do its work, and let your love continue to set people free from slavery to fear. In Jesus' name, amen.